You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
All right. Joining us right now is Shauna, aka Valer. How are you doing?
I'm good. Just put my kids down to sleep. And so I'm kind of like in that haze. Like, you're like, am I awake? Am I alive? But I'm good. We got green tea. I'm chilling, you know?
Lovely.
How are you?
We're doing great. We managed to work around the technical difficulties, not solve them, yeah. But the interview is going as planned, and that is all that matters.
Yes.
So to start off, can you please introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yes, my name is Shauna, and I play under a moniker called Valer. I've been doing this for a while, kind of remember anymore. But yeah, I play sort of electronic pop music, and I just put a single out called I'll Tell You When I Know, and... yeah, I'm in Tamaki Makaurau at the moment, and yeah, I'm enjoying it. I'm a mum, like I said, you know, trying to juggle all the things, you know what I'm saying? Not sure if I'm doing it very gracefully, but doing it nonetheless. We're surviving. Might not be thriving, but look, we're still alive, you know what I'm saying? So that's me.
Absolutely. Juggling motherhood and music at the same time.
Girl, look.
I was going to say, like, that is so real, because it's like having a full-time job while doing a music thing as well, so.
Yeah.
Good job.
I mean, who told me to do it? No one did. No one forced me to do it. So I don't know what I'm doing. But I'm doing it, and it's fun. It's chaotic, but I think it's good, I guess, to show the kids, you know, like, oh, you can still kind of do this stuff. Might not look the same, but we're still trying, you know? Yeah.
So going back to what you said earlier this year in July, you dropped your latest single, I'll Tell You When I Know.
Yes.
So can you tell us about the song and what it's about in your own words?
Yeah, I think I wrote this song with Christian Jawinata at the Big Fan Pan-Asian Songwriting Camp. I think it was like, that was 2 years ago or something like that. And we were just talking about how sometimes it can be hard to answer people, maybe especially your parents, when they're asking you, like, what are you up to? Like, what's your plan? Where are you going, like, with your career? Like, when are you getting married? When are you having kids? When are you going to have a house? All that kind of thing. And I think we were talking about our own personal experiences with that sort of stuff. And we just thought it'd be fun to write a song about, like, tell you when I know, you know? Like, I don't know. It's just a reply to those questions. And I think it's quite funny that I can only explain from my sort of experience of being an Asian, you know, person with Asian parents. It is quite stereotypical, but I mean, I did have experiences with that, of my parents being like, what's going on, especially as a creative. And so luckily they're pretty chill about it now. But yeah, we just wrote a song about that pretty much.
Amazing. And the song is accompanied by a very funky music video, which features some shots of on the green screen, you know, some shots of lumpia, you know, some traditional Filipino dishes, and you singing karaoke with your family as well. Can you tell us a little bit about the music video that accompanies the song as well?
Yeah. So we were trying to figure out how to, I guess, visually show this message. And I think, I can't remember, but there was a time where I didn't want to sing karaoke because I was doing music for a living, or you know what I mean? And people, when people see that you're a singer, they think that you can sing karaoke, but I can't. I'm not very good. Like, I'm not party girl, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't get the crowd going. And so I was always shy about karaoke. But then I just went to my mom's house one day, just family, and we were just singing karaoke. It was the first time I sung, and it was real fun. And I was like, far out, this is crazy. Like, people just have fun with this music thing. And for some reason, there's also this kind of pressure to do really well in this other type of music thing, you know? And so I just kind of thought, man, karaoke is sort of a good visual representation of just like, hey, I'm doing this for fun. It doesn't have to go anywhere. Like, it doesn't have to be this massive thing. And so we just put on kind of like a karaoke party at my mom's house. Straight up, it's my mom's house. So if you want to know what my mom's house looks like, that's what it looks like. She made the lumpia. She made all the food. And I got my mate to to choreograph a dance because she can't dance. And so we were just, like I said, it was just some fun stuff, you know?
I was just about to mention as well, that video reminds me so much of how a typical Filipino party would look like, especially a birthday. And you visualize it so perfectly that it brought me back to my childhood, like childhood core memories of what a Filipino household would look like, right?
Yeah. Yes. Because what did it look like for you, JC? Like, what's the, yeah, what was on the table? What was, like, going on at your party?
Oh, my goodness. So I'm from Bicol, and a lot of the time, people would just bring, like, Bicol Express and, like, your traditional family like recipes that most families have their own specialties, and mine was Bicol Express, bulalo, lechon, kare kare, and also vegetarian lumpiang Shanghai. And most of the time that's what it looks like in our household in the Philippines. And that just watching your video like really quickly and also carefully, you just really visualized it so well. And oh my gosh, are you going to be able to do more of that stuff in the future by any chance?
I'm hoping so. Thank you so much to also my dad from Bicol. So I've got, yeah, we visit Legazpi. That's where he's from. I love Bicol so much.
Wait, and
Bicol
is
my favorite. Literally, my favorite food of all time is Bicol Express.
I was about to ask, what is your dad's name? I feel like I'm about to know your dad.
You guys could be cousins.
Honestly, it could be neighbors.
Gee, do you know Lorando? Like, that's my maiden, Lorando or Llorando. We are, I don't know. We're, anyway, we gotta look this up.
We actually have to after this because.
Straight up. We might be related.
We honestly could.
To answer your question, yes, I'm wanting to do more of that stuff. I think I've got a couple of singles I'm wanting to work on. I'm not sure when they'll be out. I'm hoping they'll be out before the end of the year, which is kind of fast approaching. But I'm very lucky that I'm married to a filmmaker who did the video. So I think that's what's made it work for us as a family, especially kind of juggling kids and stuff. That very, very blessed to have another creative on board. And like, we can kind of just like make stuff while the kids are at bay or whatever. And yeah, it'll be really fun to actually incorporate more of that kind of just our culture. And it's just so cool even hearing that from you. Like, oh, wow, like someone actually understands, you know, like, and what we were going for in terms of just like the dancing karaoke screens and that. You're just like, whenever you do karaoke, there's just like random shots of things that don't make sense. But they're there, you know, so it's like, yeah, it'd be fun to do more of that stuff.
Kind of funny that you mentioned earlier that you didn't really used to do karaoke, because karaoke was a big part of this single release as well. So because for your single release show at the Ponsonby's Social Club, you had the karaoke booth for like fans and attendees to come and sing the song with you. So can you tell us a bit about how you came up with that idea and how you put it together?
Yeah, I have a really amazing friend and PR person, Samantha. We just kind of bounced ideas off of each other, and she's just like a bag full of ideas. And I think we really ran with the whole karaoke theme. So instead of having openers, we had like actual people, like people who did karaoke kind of semi-professionally, like to open. And that was like sick. Like it was just kind of, it's like an art form, you know, like there are people who go and do karaoke gigs like every weekend. And then we had the booth just to kind of sing the song. So people would just kind of like come in, listen to the song and just like sing along to it. And yeah, it was just kind of a fun night. I think we just tried to run with the karaoke theme as much as we could.
Wait, I wanted to ask, since I wasn't there, was there a live band or were you guys playing it off by tracks?
So the karaoke bit, tracks. So we low-key like found some YouTube track for, I think, yeah, we had like really awesome karaoke singers who sung two songs. My band was live, obviously, but yeah, it was just kind of like, I wonder what it would look like. We just went with it.
That would have been so nostalgic for most Filipinos to have like watched a live karaoke set, if you know what I mean, because most of the time it's at your own garage and it would be so like butch and so makeshift as well. And seeing it at Ponsonby Social Club as well is insane. Oh my gosh, I wish I should have been there, honestly. I wish I should have met you earlier, but we're here now.
Hey, we'll put on some more shows. I'm sure if that's something that people want to have, then let's go, you know.
And prior to this single release, you actually played a couple of shows in the Philippines as well, right? As part of the APRA mentorship program. So can you tell us a bit about your experiences playing in the Philippines and how people there received your music?
Yeah, so it sort of tied into some visits that I did with my family, and was really lucky to meet some really awesome musicians over there who kind of gave me like sort of a slot to play, and I think kept relationships over there. And a couple of years ago, I think now, I was releasing a single, and yeah, I was like, oh, it would be really cool to put a show on there. And to be honest with you, I'm still kind of trying to figure out my place in Aotearoa like kind of scene. I think I'm very influenced by a lot of the music that is in the Philippines, and it's a little bit more kind of ballady, a little bit more pop, kind of, you know, soft or whatever. Like, I'm sure there's other types of music in the Philippines like that, but when I was playing there, it just felt like I clicked. Like, the people that opened, really incredible bands, were indie as well. They still had that sort of kind of sound, you know? And so it was very like, it felt like home, I guess, like playing there. So I'm making sure those kind of relationships stay. One day we'll visit, or yeah, who knows? I'd love to play there again.
And just touching on like some of the music that you heard in the Philippines, are there any artists from the Philippines that you are influenced by or that you listen to actively?
I think at the moment, just people like my peers, Vincent Echo is incredible, incredible musician. He actually sings on a song of mine in my Gold Dust EP. Just voice is incredible. Ouija Kun, Sepia Times, Icy, just all those people. I met them and they just are like pushing the boundaries of music over there. And yeah, I think I took it for granted maybe when I was still growing up, because we moved here like when I was really young. And so I didn't really like, I kind of grew up on all the music that my parents grew up with, like those types of, you know. So I'm sort of, once I played over there and had those relationships, that's when I started kind of like getting into the whole, oh, whoa, like there's an actual like indie scene out here, you know. Rianne Barella, beautiful. Anyway, I could go on.
That sounds really cool as well, because like, again, those artists have brought so much influence to your music now, and you having the opportunity to work with APRA to go to the Philippines and play some shows is actually really sick, which leads up to my question about the shows in the Philippines, because as a artist here that was practically raised in New Zealand, how did it feel, the culture clashing when you're performing and then having to connect with all of these guys in the Philippines?
So funny. Oh, I just have to clarify. I think with APRA, it was a different thing. So I got to link up with Holly Arrowsmith, which is my mentor right now, which is really sweet. And then, yeah, we kind of just self-funded the gig because we were going to Philippines anyway. But it was crack up because I thought that it'd be all good because we played in Cebu and I'm fluent in Bisaya, but my humor is hard out Kiwi. And I talk smack. Like, I talk smack when I play. So when there was a show when I was it was kind of crack up. Like, I would just talk out of, you know. And they kind of wouldn't get it because I'd be saying, like, chur, chur. And they're like, what? Like,
I know.
And I'm just like, oh, damn, that's right. They've got a whole different humor here. Yeah, it was definitely like not challenging in a way, but just kind of like, oh, wow, it's something to actually consider. And it sort of proves, yeah, that the culture is different, which is kind of cool. So the next time I was there, it was like, okay, I know that this is a thing. I'm going to speak in my language, you know. Yeah, it was cool.
That's actually so funny that how like your Iwi Inuit just kind of like kicks in naturally.
Yeah, because I grew up with it pretty much. So, and I think in some ways it's like sort of interwoven, especially in Tamaki Makaurau. It's like very woven in, especially like I live out East Auckland, you know what I'm saying? Like, and there's a lot of Asians out there, and like it's East Auckland humor as well. So there's just like, I feel like I thought it would kind of translate, but I guess it didn't translate as much as I thought.
So going back to some of your earlier releases and possibly touching on something a bit more personal, you have a number of songs that are written about your children as well, who are also featured on quite a few of your album covers. Can you tell us a bit about how motherhood and parenting has had an impact on your songwriting?
Oh man, it's been crazy. Yeah, so I sort of expected to drop music when I became a mom. Like, I just, maybe it's just like, I'm not just saying this kind of lightly. Like, maybe sort of was an Asian thing. Okay, you just do your fun thing and then you're ready to settle down and then do your thing and like just forget about the fun stuff. And so I just thought, yep, sweet, I'm gonna drop music. But then, like I said, I married a creative who wouldn't let that happen, which was, you know, like very grateful. And I think I had a daughter first, so her name's Lily, and I saw a lot of myself in Lily, and I was like, what do I want to teach my kid? What do I want to teach her? Like, do I teach her that once she gets married and has a kid, she has to drop everything? And so I felt very convicted and not forced, but I was like, damn, I really need to do this. Like, I really need to keep doing this. And I think it's opened up a lot of different ways of songwriting as well. Like, I think different complex emotions that you go through as a parent, feeling like you love this person so much, but also like so afraid of how they'll grow up and that kind of thing. So I'm still sort of unpacking it. And also like becoming a parent, you kind of look back on your parents and you're like, dang, like I totally get what you were going through. So it's definitely opened up a whole new world. The creative side of things has opened up. I think, of course, there is a sacrifice in the practical side of things, but I guess forces me to be creative about how to do certain things. Like, for example, this interview, this is a great slot. It's post kids sleeping. I love it. You know what I mean? Like, I can clock out for a little bit until someone cries and then I'm out of here. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's a good question.
So in a way, you know, whereas you thought that you would have to give up music after having kids, you know, your kids have sort of become like the driving force behind your songwriting.
Yeah, for real. And I always felt like it was super cheesy when people would say that. They'd be like, oh, I'm just doing this for my family. And then you get in there, you're like, oh, I get it. It's straight up, I get it. Because these kids are watching you, bro. And they're like, you have so much responsibility to live the way that you want them to live, you know? So it's like, yeah.
So going forward, what other plans do you have in terms of your music? You know, will I'll Tell You When I Know become part of, you mentioned it, that will become a part of a larger release as well.
I'm hoping so, yeah. So I'm definitely brewing on a lot of songs and a lot of content at the moment. Or like not content, like just, I kind of work through stories, I think, of like songs. And for example, like I'll Tell You When I Know is this part of this kind of, in my head, like we've just gone through a lot of moving. Used to live in Ototahi and then we moved to Tamaki and then just all the stuff happened. And so I've been kind of writing songs as I have been. It's just taken a bit of time to get them kind of on paper, but I'm hoping to put some songs out as a little project. And then, yeah, I'm definitely writing. Whether or not it's going to come out soon, not too sure. I'm hoping that yes is my answer.
I wanted to ask as well, this is about your kids, if you wanted to answer this, if you wanted to.
Sure.
Do you believe that your kids will want to do music like you do?
I hope that they love music as much as I do. And I think they do anyway. We sing a lot at home and I'll find both of them really just like singing to themselves when they're doing random stuff. And I don't teach that. And it's funny. It's actually really cool. And again, I don't teach, like kids are incredible. Like they just have their own, they just do their own thing, really. Like my daughter, Lily, she's writing songs. Like she's singing. It's like incomprehensible, of course. But she will, like she got melody, man. And she'll be like, Mama, do you like this song? I'm like, yeah, girl, keep it up. And like, I don't know if she's going to pursue it or not. We were cracking up. My husband and I were like, we really need to raise accountants so that our parents get off our backs, you know what I'm saying? So that they have the children that they've always wanted. But maybe the gene is too strong. But no, I think I just hope that they see the value of creativity, see the value of the arts. That's like our main thing. And so it's really important for us to take them with us when we're doing things, you know, like if Hayden, my husband, is filming, for them to see that, for them to see me. Like I think I might have taken Lily to a gig once. She had like little headphones or earmuffs. Yeah. I think also one Lily even asked like the other day, she was like, Mama, can I be a singer like you? She asked me. And I was like, if you want, girl, I'm not crying. You're crying, bro. You're crying, you know? So
that means you won on the gene people.
Look, she's gonna be four. Now there's a whole lifetime ahead, we don't know. So I mean I'll take this win, but who knows? She might be an accountant, a singing accountant. We'll see, you know.
And I guess just before we wrap up the interview, you know, do you have any upcoming gigs or shows that you'd want to plug maybe?
Not as of yet, but yeah, stay tuned. I guess I'm working hard to get some stuff out for you. And I think I should definitely work on this, but mailing lists, man. I'll put up like a mailing list kind of link on my socials. If you guys want to like go onto my socials, Valere Music, V-A-L-E-R-E Music. Just want to connect with people through that level, I think. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's about everything for me. JC, do you have anything else you want to add?
I want to know what your like go-to Filipino meal is.
Literally, I'm not even lying. Like Bicol Express. Like if there's like Bicol Express. Yeah, straight up Bicol Express, but like white rice, you know, because you gotta balance the spice with just like the plainness of the white rice. Yeah. Sometimes we have the Bicol Express rice as well, but I'm like, it's too spicy for me. And kinilaw.
Wait. No, oh my, I love this pot because like when I talk to another Filipino about like their Filipino dishes or anything about Filipino like pride shows.
Yeah.
Oh, kinilaw is like, oh, that's like a specialty. And oh my goodness, I remember having that when I was younger and I actually hated it when I first tasted it when I was younger. But when I went back to the Philippines 2 years ago, I enjoyed it. People were like, you're looking at me, it's like, you're not supposed to eat it like fully. Like you have to take it in turns because it's such a hearty meal.
Dude, it's just, yeah, I love it. And then like if for dessert, have you had cassava cake, bro? That's like my favorite. That was on the video. So I had I was like, Mom, you gotta make my favorite. I'm pretty sure you'll see Bicol Express. I'm pretty sure you'll see cassava cake. The lumpia is bomb. Just, yeah, anything, bro. So look, we should have a party. Guys, come over to my house.
Yeah.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.